Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva. And on this episode, Kristen Hunt and I continue our discussion. Kristen, in our last broadcast, we discussed the importance of organizations to transition their care delivery models to a team model. We even talked about what we meant by team and how organizations can foster effective teams. Can you briefly review with us what those trends mean to us overall?
Circling back, we talked more about building more of that inclusive culture from that executive leadership team. And those key pieces are really making sure that we've got the correct communication patterns and really making sure that we've got inclusion in the governance structures as well. So multiple components are needed really to start with the executive leadership. And the executive leadership actually needs to role model what does this mean to have an inclusive culture. And that happens by creating more of a flat environment. And when you talk about the return on investment for creating more of that inclusive culture, it is directly related to the turnover rates. And we have seen this in our clinical team insights data that those organizations that have a higher inclusive culture score directly for not only APPs, but also for physicians have a lower turnover rate overall. That's a significant return on investment.
Now, I get that, but life changed for many of us during the first quarter of the calendar year of 2020. What's happened since then?
Well, it actually has seen an expansion of the scope of practice for advanced practice providers. So I mentioned earlier in our previous podcast about the importance of medical staff and some of the terminology that we've found in medical staff bylaws where they're non-essential. Yet, we have seen many APPs being granted additional expansion of their scope of practice. Something else that we've also seen is people really rise up in the time of a crisis, and that hierarchy seemed to dissipate. And we've actually seen some organizations that had a strong hierarchy really become flat as they all became one during crisis mode, coming together, working to the top of their license, and really forming more of that team. And so that there is where leadership needs to step in and propel that momentum. That's why the time to act is really more of now, because we've already seen the potential of what can happen with teamwork and people coming together. So we need to propel that and keep that momentum going.
So at Vizient, we have lots of examples, including some data that shows by leveraging the waivers and expanding the scope of practice for our APPs, outcomes were improved, efficiencies were established, and actually decreasing in provider burnout as well. How can organizations propel this movement?
I think it really all comes down to money. And I know it's unfortunate, but really that's what motivates people. And so when we start talking about money and what kind of incentives you're going to receive, you need to make sure that they're aligned. So you're trying to promote within the organization more of a team culture and teams working together, top of license. So we've got to make sure that we're incentivizing them to meet those standards. And so again, a lot of it boils down to compensation and making sure that we're incentivizing the right behavior.
So when organizations start to better optimize their clinical workforce, what do they actually need to accomplish?
So there's three pillars that we can look at when we're talking about optimizing our clinical workforce. One is creating more of an inclusive environment and really looking at elevating the scope of practice. The second pillar is more about driving operational efficiencies. So we need to go and take a deeper dive and really identify the waste that we're creating throughout our organizations and find those duplications and eliminate them. And the third pillar is designing and deploying care team strategies. So really incentivizing teamwork, making sure that we're deploying those innovative care modalities to really meet the patient's needs.
So where are some other areas organizations need to look at?
I guess a good starting point is really taking an internal look at your organization and really looking at the workflow. And so one of the things I'll talk about here is identifying those non-billable clinical tasks that our clinicians are doing. So when we're looking at the literature tells us a lot of information about the waste that we have currently within our health system. And so we've seen from the literature that if APPs and physicians are being held accountable to do non-billable tasks, such as case management activities, completing forms like FMLA papers, and spending their time with prior authorizations, it's actually accounting for about 38% of an APP's time, and it's accounting for 24% of our physician's time. So let me explain to you pre-COVID and really understanding why we were in the predicament that we are in. We have significant waste in our organizations. Our data told us when we were looking at case management activities, so understanding what are the physicians and APPs doing, are they spending their time on case management activities? 51% of our clinics were having APPs perform case management activities, and 48% were having their physicians perform case management activities. This can easily be reallocated into the appropriate skill level, which is your care coordinators. And then we can go in and look at completing forms. So let's look at completing FMLA forms. Granted, they may have to have a clinician's signature, but you can definitely create more of a process where the busy part of the work can be done by your nursing staff or your LMA and really increase the workflow for that clinician. So we're finding that in our data that 63% of our APPs are being held responsible for this type of task and 70% of our physicians are being held accountable.
I can attest to that.
So then let's look at prior authorizations, right? And so this is another timely task. And so our organizations are finding that 41% are requiring their APPs to spend their time on prior authorizations, and 49% are requiring their physicians. So right there alone, that was just one little exercise of really understanding what the APPs and physicians being held responsible for, and let's shift that work. So maybe a lot of our backlog and looking at our APPs and physicians' productivity, we may not need to be hiring more APPs and physicians. And so that really elevates more of that RN role, especially within the ambulatory clinic. So making sure that we're working smarter, not harder, is a good key.
I understand working smarter, not harder. And you also mentioned different care modalities. Are you talking about telemedicine?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what our new data is going to tell us about telemedicine specifically. When we're looking at telemedicine, our previous data told us that really there was only about 4% of the organizations were utilizing APPs in telemedicine. I think that's going to be significantly different. An organization that I just met with here recently, talking about what did they learn and how did they deploy their APPs through this COVID, is really the APPs are now leading their virtual care, which prior they were not involved in telemedicine at all. And they've actually seen that they're doing a really nice job. Now, we don't have actual specific data to back that up, but just looking at the workflow, patients are very happy. They're receiving the care that they need. And so this is an excellent opportunity to really expand and see what other opportunities there are for the advanced practice providers. And then another area that we need to look at is remote monitoring. And so I don't know if you've heard much about the hospital at home program, but they have actually been deploying more patients that typically would have been inpatient, sending them home with this remote monitoring and having APPs manage them through this remote system. That would have never happened before. This one organization was talking about, and now again, the APPs are owning this process. And it's right within their wheelhouse. This is where they do the best work, right? They can monitor the patient, they can educate the patient, and they know when the patient would need to go back to the hospital, if so. But I'm excited to see what kind of outcomes we're going to see from this. Some additional areas that organizations can look when they're looking at workforce optimization is what types of patients are the APPs allowed to see? Are they seeing new patients or are they only able to see the established patients? When we look at our data, what we're able to find is 79% of our organizations were allowing APPs to see new patients, yet only 46% were allowing the APPs to see consults. So a couple questions that you have to ask is, why is that the case? Is it because they were consults? Are they because they're new? Are we worried about patients' perception? But really what the bottom line is, we need to create more of that team environment. And by doing that, we are able to increase our access for our patients as well. We need to understand why are the APPs not fully being utilized. Seeing new patients and consults are well within their scope of practice. And so we need to really examine why are we limiting our ability to get new patients into our organizations? What is that challenge? And where can we increase the utilization of our advanced practice providers? And it might just be we need to educate. What are they able to see?
And looking ahead in a post-crisis world, what needs to happen now in dealing with clinical workforce issues?
We've got to change. We cannot continue to function the way that we have in the past. Some organizations have been able to scoot along financially and work in their previous patterns, but that's just not going to be the case anymore. So we've really got to enforce change and we need to focus on the team.
So Kristen, I know there's opposition. I know there are hurdles. I know there are challenges. How can we address them?
We need to look at the problems straight on. We need to understand and verbalize that we know that people feel loss of control. They feel like there's lack of education on the scope of practice, and we need to address that immediately. We need to educate everyone, including additional clinicians. We also need to educate our patients on the scope of practice and ensuring that we're fully utilizing and optimizing our advanced practice providers. We also need to make sure that the APPs are stepping up. And some of that stepping up piece and holding them accountable is going to be essential. And that's going to mean including them in the medical staff bylaws and making sure that we're holding them to the standards that we need to be holding them to.
So how do organizations deal with these challenges?
Yep. So we've got to act now. This is not going away, the COVID crisis. We are not going to mysteriously wake up the next day and just be able to go back to the old way of thinking and the old way of operating. Like I said, we were already struggling financially, many organizations. And the ones that are not as struggling as bad as some of our other organizations are the ones that are deploying a lot of these team modalities. So we need to understand that it's not an option anymore. We can't opt into a care mentality. It is a necessity. And it's a necessity if we're going to keep our organizations afloat. So unfortunately, healthcare is a business and we need to run a business. And we need to make some smart business decisions that are going to have significant positive impacts on our patients. Change is hard. People are going to kick and scream, but it takes strong leaders to step up and really enforce these changes, educate why these changes are important, and make it happen. Not tolerate insubordinate behavior. This is a culture of the organization, and this is what needs to happen if you want to be part of this organization. And so you need to hold people accountable to that. And ironically, the people that you have left after they've kicked and screamed and thrown their fit, they're actually going to be happier. They're going to be more engaged. You're going to be able to measure your turnover rates and see a significant decrease in that turnover rate. You're going to see a significant increase in your provider outcomes. Patient satisfaction is going to go through the roof. Even things such as workplace harm, that's another area that we've seen impacted by really formulating more of that team environment. Again, it just circles back right to that strong leadership. So you need to model it by creating a flat environment. You've got to address the compensation problem and make sure that you're sending the right message throughout the organization. And again, you just need to not tolerate variations within the system.
Kristen, thanks for taking the time for joining us in these past two episodes. I appreciate the insights. And to our listeners, please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Vizient Leadership Medical Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. And also, please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast on the latest in healthcare strategies. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.